Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for joining our digital service today. Now, last week we finished our mini-series on Romans chapter 12. Next week we're going to be back working through our study of the life of Christ. But today, I want to give you some encouragement for moving forward in this crazy, sin-cursed world. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this time as we dig into your word. Help us to clearly understand it. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anything that we need to make changes in our lives, that you would bring that through the process of sanctification and conviction to our lives today. Please wake us up to the realities of what you need for us to do and change in our lives on a daily basis. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. So I don't have one primary text for today, so I'm going to ask you to be turning in some different places in Scripture. And let's just go ahead and start today in the book of Proverbs. Go ahead and start with chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Now, today, I'm going to give you an acronym to better help you in your daily spiritual battles of life. Now, the word that we're using today is BRAVE. B-R-A-V-E, brave. Now, when you face life this week, especially when you face Monday morning, I want you to be brave. Now, the first letter of the word brave is a B, the letter B, and the letter B stands for bold. Now, bold means to show an ability to take risks, confident and courageous. It's gutsy. It's being positive. It's moving in a forward motion. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Now, the book of Proverbs is filled with contrasts. You have the evil shown and then the good shown. Now, often we see the fool shown and then in contrast what the wise will do instead. Now, notice that the wicked runs away even when no one is running after them. And why is that? Because their conscience reveals to them their guilt. However, the righteous hold their ground. In fact, they hold their stance like a strong lion. Now, you may not realize this, but in order for us to have this kind of righteousness, we need an element of the right kind of fear. However, this is not the average kind of fear. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 2 says, "He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him." Also, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, in simple terms, to fear the Lord means to respect and honor him, to consider his word, to recognize that it is true, and to apply his principles to your life. Now, those who are willing to have dialogue and consider what is right and what is wrong are searching for this kind of truth, are searching, really what they're searching for is real wisdom. Those who put their hands over their ears to scream at the top of their lungs that you're wrong and who run away when you try to share scripture are not searching for God's truth. Now, we live in a fearful society today. Not a God-fearing society, but an emotionally charged society that is searching for something real, but tends to work to destroy it if that truth attempts to change anything for the better that people don't like. For instance, God uses something called conviction in our lives. Now, we've all been convicted of something in our lives. When God is working in us to expose our sin, he uses many times conviction to show us what we have done wrong or how we are heading in the wrong direction. Now, convict in the Greek means to convince someone of the truth, to reprove. And reprove means to reprimand someone. Now, conviction is always felt. Sometimes people identify conviction as an attack against them. So when you're speaking the truth of Christ, others sometimes take it as an attack against them because they really feel it deep, which in most cases is the working of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction into their lives. Now, let me make this clear. I am not bringing conviction. I can't bring conviction. That is not my job. I am simply supposed to live for and share the message of the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit takes that Scripture and brings the conviction in the hearts of others. Now, when those in our society today try to make us seem small because we believe in a big and all-powerful God, we need to react with humility, with grace, and with love. We should not attack back. Now, remember our study last week in Romans chapter 12. We are to feed our enemies, to love and encourage them, to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Now, when others attack us for living out Christ, we need to be bold and not give up, but continue to courageously move forward. Now, turn with me, if you will, over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin here in verse 1. Actually, we're just going to look at verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to look at the next letter in the word brave, which is the letter R. Now, R stands for resolute. To be resolute means that you are purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Now, we see two phrases that really hold on to this idea of resolute in Scripture. They are one, stand fast, and two, hold fast. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, both stand fast and hold fast mean to hold your ground. Be determined to not give up, even in the face of great opposition. Now, here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, we see that we are to stand fast, to be resolute, to be purposeful in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Now, for those who are gospel believers, Jesus Christ has broken our chains that held us to our sin. Our chains are forever broken. We are free. We have the freedom now to not get chained again to the sin that works to pull us down and prevent us from sharing Christ with the world. We all have a yoke of bondage. Now, this is the sin that we have given into time and time again. This is a sin that keeps coming back up in our lives. This is a sin that tempts us the most. We are reminded here that we need to stay as far away from this sin as possible. We need to confess it to Jesus, leave it at his feet, and don't let it pull us down ever again. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, the confession of our hope is Jesus Christ. We need to hold fast to him. We need to be unwavering from our hold on Christ. When we are faithful, God will be faithful to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22 says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, one interesting point about this text is that if you go back to verse 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, Don't shut down the working of the Holy Spirit in your life when he's trying to help you through conviction to wake up to what God wants for your life. Instead, test all things. Make sure that what people are saying about the Bible and about God are true according to what the Bible has to say, and determine to hold tight to all that is good by abstaining from them. Notice, not just abstaining from evil, but from every form of evil. Now, this is all the things that even look like they could be evil. This is being upright in a way that you leave no wiggle room whatsoever for someone to think otherwise about you. And by the way, here, looking at test all things, this is when we hear those voices in our head. Sometimes they're just little thoughts, little things that come in and say, what if you did this? Think about this, and so on. Make sure that with every one of those voices, before you start saying, this must be God telling me something, that you look at what those voices have to say according to Scripture and according to how God has been leading you already. You want to be really careful that you're not listening to the wrong voice, because remember that we always have the voice of our flesh inside of us trying to direct us, and we also have the voice of our enemy, Satan, that is trying to steer us away from what God wants most in our lives. So we need to make sure that we're testing every one of those thoughts and those ideas and those voices by what the Word of God has to say. All right, turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now we're going to look at the third letter of Brave, which is the letter A. Now A stands for attentive. Attentive. Now attentive means to be focused, not just on you, but also on those around you. Be in the moment. Don't get distracted. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 13, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Now, watch here is the first word. It means look, be mindful of who is around you. Don't just consider your own needs, but consider the needs of others, including their spiritual needs. Stand fast in the faith. Hold your ground. Be resolute. Now notice that we are reconnecting to resolute here. Every letter of brave is connected to each other. You cannot independently be attentive without also being bold and resolute. If you're just one of these things without the others, you are missing out on needful items to help you in this life. Now notice that we are called on to be brave. Be brave here in the Greek actually means to be strong like a man. Don't be a boy who can act tough in the moment but who runs away from danger, but hold your ground like a godly man should, protecting his family, honoring God, and never backing down. Now, ladies, 99% of the time, I'm going to encourage you to be lovely and modest and like the Proverbs 31 woman. But today, I'm going to encourage you to be brave, to act like that godly man that holds his ground. And when I say be brave and be strong, I mean it. God doesn't want us to run away like the wicked when no one is chasing them. He wants us to hold our ground. He wants us to rely on his strength to hold it and not back down. Look with me at verse 14. It is a great follow-up verse. Let all that you do be done with love. In other words, don't just be like a strong man on steroids that has bulging muscles and seems super tough. Too much of that testosterone, and we're just trying to do everything ourselves to fix difficult situations. And yet we're informed here how it is that we are to approach these difficult situations. We're to do it with God's love. When you're holding your ground, be mindful of the words that proceed out of your mouth and make sure that they are seasoned with the grace and humility that are given to us with God's love. Now, in our attentiveness, we all have an area of influence. Now imagine with me for a moment that you are standing on a disc. Let's say it's a regular size frisbee. I think most people can fit both feet together on a frisbee. Now this frisbee represents your basic area of influence when you first become a Christian. Now notice that it's not that big. Your influence for Christ is only going to affect those who are close to you in your life. However, as we grow in Christ, that disc gets bigger. And we go from the influence that's the size of a frisbee to the influence of the size of a hula hoop. Now, every person that comes in contact with your disc is an opportunity for them to see Christ in you and for you to share Christ with them. Think about it. If your area of influence is 2 feet away from you, or 3 or 4, think of how many people you walk past in a day that are close in your area of influence. People that you may not speak directly to, but who may watch you. They may watch what you say and how you say it. They may look at what you're wearing or your mannerisms. We teach through our everything. They may see how kind you are or how generous you are. How many people do you come near enough to be an influence to in your everydays? Even thinking about it, I go to the grocery store and I'm normally passing by people in the aisleway that are at least within 1 to 2 feet of me. I have the opportunity to say hello or have a nice day or have a nice smile or say, wow, what wonderful weather we're having, or God is so good. Be able to help them to pull things down off the shelf when people are struggling. I have an area of influence. And we need to be positive with whatever influence that we've been given for the Lord. Now understand this, there are influencers everywhere in the world today who are leading people far away from the truth and changing their perceptions. They're leading people away from the truth, especially the truth of Jesus. And we need to influence people to Jesus Christ and use the opportunities to love others. Be watchful, not just at your own needs, but for those who are around you. Now turn back with me to Galatians chapter 5 for a moment, and we're going to look at the fourth letter in the word brave, which is the letter V. V stands for virtuous. Now, virtuous is having or showing high morals. Now, when we talk about morality, we have to be careful because so many people have their own morality today. But we need to live by God's morality. That is the highest standard of morality. Look with me starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, these are all virtues. Interestingly enough, gospel believers cannot produce these virtues on their own. It is only through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can produce this good fruit, these virtues. Now, the first three virtues are love, joy, and peace. And they are all habits of the mind as we center our lives on God. The next three virtues, long-suffering, which is really it's extreme patience, kindness, and goodness, are virtues that can be expressed to others when we are embracing the first three virtues. And then finally, the last three virtues, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are all fruits that permeate from the gospel believer who is continually centered on the Lord. Now, when our relationship with the Lord is rocky, we will find that these virtues are rocky as well. Now, turn with me to one more passage in the book of James chapter 5. Now, there are a couple of ways that we could end brave here, but today I'm going to suggest the word effective. Effective. Now, effective means successful in producing a desired or intended result. All right, look with me at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, prayer from a righteous person, in other words, someone who first is a born-again believer, and second, who applies scriptural virtues in their lives. They will be effective at seeing things accomplished through prayer to God. Now, when tragedy strikes, we often hear public figures make the statement that they are praying for this person or their family. But when prayers do not come from a heart that is centered on the Lord, they are not effective. Now, as a Christian, we have certain perks. We get a bunk bed in heaven. We get to tap into God's wisdom. We are provided the Lord's strength to continue on when others cannot. And although there are many more, let me just mention this one. We get a wonderful relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, and with God the Father, where we can talk to them anytime and anywhere that we want. That phone line is always open for those in the family of God. Now, those outside of the family of God do not get these perks. Now, this is an incredible blessing, and we should never take it for granted. Now, I want you to not only fight your spiritual battles, but I want you to overcome them and to keep overcoming them. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through prayer. Prayer should be at the center of our walking through every aspect of Brave, because it is not through our own confidence that we muster up the strength to be brave, but it is through the power of God that we can be bold, resolute, attentive, virtuous, and effective. If we want to accomplish what God wants us to do in our lives, we have to do it His way, and it all starts with prayer. Now, let me encourage you today. We don't have the luxury to lay back and just wait for a comfortable day to serve the Lord. We are in a time that people no longer know the truth of Scripture, and a time where there is such deception that many of those who are searching for God are being led away by the lies of Satan, our enemy. We have to effectively engage our culture. We have to be the truth tellers to help people to see and know Christ. And by the way, we are going to be talking about this on a regular basis moving forward. How do we effectively engage our culture for the Lord? And I'll give you a hint. It's not just by saying Jesus loves you. We need to bring the truth, God's truth, not our perspective truth, to the culture around us. And we need to do so through God's love. Now remember, this is His plan. He gives us the tools and the way to get it accomplished. Now think of the Bible as a blueprint for the Christian life. We just have to learn how to read the blueprint better, more effectively, so that we can build what God intends for us. Now consider with me 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, without gentleness, without love for good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, but having denied its power. Keep away from such people as these." Now, all of these people are represented today, not just in our American society, but in every society around the world. Now, jumping down to verse 12, it says, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You must continue moving the truth forward. And how do we do that? By being brave. Charlie Kirk didn't die because of his political beliefs. He died because of his Christian beliefs, because of his Christian worldview. Now, right now is a moment in time where God is using Charlie's life and his message that was fundamentally built on Christ to wake people up to the reality of what they need most, which is a relationship with Jesus. Right now is the time where so many people around the world are cheering Charlie's name and committing to speak for him. Right now is when so many people are going to church in search of what Charlie had. Right now, it is easy to live for Christ because so many people are desiring to do the same. But will you still stand for Christ when you're the only one? We have been studying for a while now the life of Jesus Christ. This is a very important study that we've been slowly digging into through all four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We need to study the life of Christ because we need to see and understand the different ways that Jesus set the example for us in everything. Now, the Lord has already laid on my heart that when I finish walking with you through the life of Christ, that we need to study the book of Acts. After Jesus died, so many people woke up to the reality of who he was, and they came to put their faith and trust in him. And we see through the book of Acts how the early church stood for Christ while their culture around them persecuted them and in many cases put them to death. Now, I believe that we're in a time of either one or two things. One, a time of revival around the world. God is waking people up to the reality of their need for a Savior and to live by biblical truths. And two, God is allowing for people to see their need for a Savior before the Great Tribulation begins, the time of great Christian persecution. Now, we've only seen the very beginning of religious persecution in America. We've seen it all around the world. Thousands of Christians standing for Christ and even dying for it. But we haven't seen much of it here. And when it comes, will you back down and blend in? Or will you stand for Christ? Will you hold fast? Will you be brave and act like that strong man? Or will you shut down and shrink your circle of influence from a hula hoop to a frisbee? Let me encourage you today. Don't give up. Don't give in to the temptation to be quiet and just blend in with everyone else. Be brave and keep moving forward for the Lord. My challenge to you today is to take your brothers and sisters in Christ and pray for them through this BRAVE acronym. Pray for them by name that they would be bold, and that they would be resolute, that they would be attentive, that they would be virtuous, and that they would be effective. Now, we are all in this battle together. Be careful that your prayers are not all about you. Instead, pray, 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 pray for your brothers and sisters who are in the trenches with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for these different reminders of the things that we need to have most in our life. Lord, as we look at the example of Jesus Christ, Jesus never sat and decided that he wouldn't say anything because the pressures of life were too great, or he was afraid to get canceled in some way. Jesus spoke many times when even people tried to kill him and were unsuccessful until it was his time to go to the cross. Lord, you show us by the life of Jesus Christ that you have a perfect design for each one of our lives. Jesus could have been killed many times. He could have been beaten. He could have been hurt many times, but you saved him until it was time for him to go to the cross. And so it is in our lives today. You save us for different things to be able to do in our lives, to be culturally effective, to be able to speak and be attentive to those around us, to share Jesus with the world. Lord, I pray that our voice would not get small, that it would not get quiet, but instead it would get bold. Lord, I pray that we would be resolute, that we wouldn't just let the things of the world right now change us for a limited amount of time. But help us, Lord, to grasp you, to understand you more so that we can move forward and not be afraid. Help us, Lord, to trust in you in all things and continue to grow for your glory. Help us, Lord, to trust in you no matter what may come. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Yeah, I want to put a plug in for some changes that we're making here at Campbell Bible Church in the next couple of weeks. Starting in the first week of October, that's going to be Sunday, October 5th, we're going to be changing up some of our routine a little bit. At 10 a.m. on Sundays, we normally meet for prayer, and we're going to be changing that a little bit. We're going to be having a discussion on what the Christian worldview is each week. We're going to be taking little bits of the news of the week and breaking it down to look at it from a Christian perspective and how it affects our Christian worldview. And then we're going to take some time to be praying for each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord and about things that are happening in the world around us. Now, I would encourage you that if you haven't come to this time already, to make sacrifices to come at 10 a.m., Now, the reason I would say that is because God has been laying on my heart so much of the importance of us not just praying for each other at home, but praying for each other with each other. It makes an incredible difference. First, it helps us to grow more in the Lord when we hear other brothers and sisters in the Lord praying for us. It also helps us to be able to relate to them, each other, better. And it helps us to grow in our understanding as to how to be more bold and how to be more brave in our daily thinking. So that begins the first Sunday in October at 10 a.m. And that'll go from 10 to about 10:50. We'll break for 10 minutes and then go into our worship time. And then the other change is that on Wednesday nights, we are going to be loading back up to do our Wednesday night meetup, where we basically meet and reread through scripture together. And we're going to be doing this both physically and digitally, whatever you're available for. If you want to come physically, you're welcome to come physically. If you can't and you'd like to come digitally, you're welcome to come digitally. We'll have it on both platforms there live at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. So something to look forward to as we enter into October.